What's up, Atlanta? We have made it. Welcome into a Thursday with Turtle on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas tonight with you for the full four, taking you till 10 o'clock. And we have made it. Training camp is underway, and there are so many things we need to dive into. And I need to just start off the bat by saying this. I didn't think we'd be talking about Kyle Pitts this soon, but yet, Horn, here we are. And he is the center of attention.
No question about it. I am ready to get hurt again.
Yeah, me too. He looked fun yesterday reporting to camp. He did a little skip to my loo into Falcons training camp, into the facility. And he looked good today. And I'm not going to lie, it got me to thinking, and we know that's not always a good thing, but yet here we are. Kyle Pitts remains the biggest enigma, the biggest mystery on the Atlanta Falcons, but he also remains the highest unlocked potential by far on this team. And if what we saw today is a glimpse, a glimmer of hope as to what we could see for the 2025 season, wow. He could unlock this offense in a way that could surpass our wildest dreams. He looked fleet. He looked in shape. He looked engaged, which I think you could argue could be the most important part. And Michael Penix Jr. enjoyed throwing him the rock today. So much so that when he opened his press conference today after practice, without being asked, Tell me they're listening. He said this.
See, we got KP the ball today. Going to be a lot of that.
Yeah. Doesn't that get you excited, Falcons fans? Let me ask you. Does it get you excited, Falcons fans? 404-726-0929. You tell me. Let's talk. We're all in a good mood, right? Training camp is underway. Things are cooking. Everybody, for the most part, is healthy except for Troy Anderson. But what else is new? He was on the PUP list to start practice today. Whatever. I mean, it's almost a lost cause at this point. But that's not what's important. What's important is how good Kyle Pitts looked today. Do you believe 404-726-0929 right now in this moment? Do you believe that Zach Robinson in year two of Penix, year one of him being the full-time starter, that Kyle Pitts will be unlocked in 2025? 404-726-0929. That's the question tonight. That's what we're going to talk about. There's certainly reason to believe that it's just not in the cards. Of course, right? Of course. I get it. Three straight years of vastly underperforming after a breakout rookie season, being nowhere close to being worthy of the fourth overall pick so far in his career, and seemingly aloof at times, meaning not 100% involved, 100% engaged, 100% focused on playing football for the Atlanta Falcons. Or is it that he had a major injury and it took a long time for him to recover? And now, coming into year five, new quarterback, second year of Zach Robinson, and you're ready to cook. Where do you stand right now? I'll tell you what. I'm ready to get hurt again. One more time. Because that's all it's going to be. If he's not good, he's not coming back. So, I mean, if he is good, he's probably not coming back anyway. But could this be a special season for Kyle Pitts with Penix throwing him the rock? You just heard him. You just heard QB1. Oh, I see. We got Penix, or we got Pitts the ball today, did we not? Ah-ha-ha, all you media scrum. Don't come at me with that Kyle Pitts nonsense. I'm going to combat it right off the jump, unprompted. Oren, did I not ask both Joe Patrick and Mark Raimondi this week if they were going to go out of their way to feature Kyle Pitts in practice? I asked both of them, and both of them said essentially the same thing. Well, I don't know if they're going to do that necessarily. I don't know if you showcase a player in a preseason practice. Well, guess what? They went out of their way to showcase Kyle Pitts in a preseason practice, man. Tell you what, from all reports, he looked good. He looked good. And so much so that after practice, Maria Martin, who's going to join the show at 6:40, asked him about the noise and asked him, do you hear what everybody's saying about you?
I don't read that rat poison. I don't get on Twitter and listen to the bots who can't come out here in 90-degree weather and come do what we do. So I don't really read into it. Obviously, I'm human, but I don't read into that. I don't pay any mind.
Rat poison, he called it. Taking a page out of Nick Saban's book. That drop we used to play on Dukes and Bell all the time. Well, the rat poison that the media gives you. Yeah. All right, Kyle. I see you. And you're
rat
right.
Rat poison.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Nick. What you need to do this year is continue to do that, Kyle. Don't pay attention to the haters. Don't pay attention to the noise. Go out and ball and earn yourself a new contract, whether it's here in Atlanta or somewhere else. So 404-726-0929. The Falcons clearly had an idea of what they wanted to do today, and part of that plan was to showcase a seemingly rejuvenated, fit, fresh, and ready to ball Kyle Pitts. And I don't think that's unintentional, folks. I think they know he needs to have a big year. He knows he needs to have a big year. And if Michael Penix is going to be the best version of himself, Pitts needs to have a big year. So where are you at? What does your gut tell you, Falcons fans? Is this going to be the year for Kyle Pitts to break out? Is this going to be the season we finally see more of what we saw in that rookie year and less of what we've seen the last three? Or do you think it's more of the same? And it's okay if you do. That's what we're here to do. We're here to talk about it. 404-726-0929. So that's what's going to get us rolling today. We have an extremely busy show. You're going to hear from Raheem Morris. Oh, how about that? He joined Andy and Randy. You're going to hear from Michael Penix Jr. Oh, how about that? Head coach and QB1 on the station today to kick off training camp. I'd say that's pretty good. It's a pretty good job. Thank you for the Falcons for making that happen. And then you're going to hear from a bunch of other guests. As I said, Maria Martin's going to stop by. She was there, boots on the ground. We'll talk to Joe Patrick tomorrow, as we do each and every Friday. Also, Justin Fields, a little scare in New York. My buddy Jake Asman from New York's going to join us, because not only do I want to talk about the injury, but the Falcons play the Jets this season. Is Justin Fields going to be the guy that they face when the Falcons clash with the Jets in New York this season? We'll talk to him about that and a whole lot more. So we got an extremely busy show coming up for you, but when we get back, we're going to take your calls. You just heard Penix. You just heard Pitts. Do you believe this is the year where he finally shows us everything we've been waiting for? Or not? 404-726-0929. Just getting started with you. Chris Thomas, Turtle, with you till 10. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and on the Odyssey app. Will Kyle Pitts have a breakout season this year? That is the poll that is up at CT Tonight. 929. Again, will Kyle Pitts have a breakout season this year? At CT Tonight, 929, at 92.9 The Game is where you go to vote on the poll. Simple question, yes or no? Again, appreciate everybody who's given the show page a brand new follow for the day. And appreciate everybody who's given the podcast page a new download as well. That is pinned to my actual Twitter page, which is at C Thomas Radio. CT Tonight 929 is our new show page, where the polls, the podcast, the guests, anything that we have on Chris Thomas Tonight will be posted each and every day. So if you're not following it on Twitter, please do so at CT Tonight 929. 9. Is Kyle Pitts ready? Again, if you missed it, or and let's play this again, this was Michael Penix Jr. at the beginning of practice, or at the end of practice, at the beginning of his podium time, unprompted, starting his press conference, saying the following.
See, we got KP the ball today. There's going to be a lot of that.
Yeah. So if you were thinking that they don't understand the deal and they don't understand the situation, you are sorely mistaken. They're locked in. The Falcons are locked in. Pitts is clearly locked in. And Michael Penix Jr. is locked in. So that's my question to you. 404-726-0929. Is he going to be able to do it this year? Is he going to be able to take that leap and become the player we all know he has the potential to be, but has not been able to execute it except for his rookie year? 404-726-0929. Mitchell, start us off. Mitchell, what do you think? All right, 404-726-0929. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're up next. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, man? Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir. What do you think?
I think realistically, he's going to have a great season for a tight end, but I don't think he'll ever be able to live up to his rookie season because that year he had Matt Ryan and nobody else. He was really the number one, number two, and number three option, if we're being completely honest. With a team that has Mooney, London, Bijan, there's no way he's going to be able to get 1,000 yards unless we just turn into a team that's just going to throw it all over the yard. And we got one of the best running back tandems in the league, so that's just not realistic. So I think he'll have a great season. Will he put up first round top five pick numbers? I don't see it in the cards.
So if I said 850 yards and 8 touchdowns, is that in the realm of what you're talking about?
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, if he becomes a real red zone target and gets 8 touchdowns and he only has 700 yards, you're not disappointed. But he's not going to get a max contract like that.
No, you're 100% right. No, and I appreciate the phone call, 404-726-0929 for Mike checking in. I don't think he's getting a top contract anyway. Off of what, 1.5 good seasons? Because remember, guys, he had 1,000 yards his rookie year, but he only had 1 touchdown. So it's not exactly like he had 10 touchdowns his rookie year. For being honest, how many does he have for his career? 12? Something like that? I mean, it's really not a lot. We're just looking that up right now. How many career touchdowns does Kyle Pitts have? I'm going to say he has 12 career touchdowns. 13? Something like that? 10? No. Oren, he has 10 career touchdowns? Oh, no. Really? I didn't think it was that low. He could have 10 this year and double it. Oh, my God. Wait, hold on a second. Kyle Pitts has 10 career touchdowns? Yeah, he does.
1, 2, 3, 4. That's how his touchdowns have gone every single year. Rookie year 1, next year 2, next year 3, and then last year 4. So maybe he gets 5 this year.
Yeah, and he's never had the next closest yards was 667. He had 1,026 his rookie year, and then he had 667 2 years ago. Wow. 404-726-0929. Damn. Michael's up next. Michael, you think Pitts can do it?
I don't think it's going to happen, man. I mean, we're being realistic here. As a tight end, you got to be able to block, and that's something that Kyle Pitts has struggled with his entire time in the pros. I think as far as yardage goes, you can get him 800 yards, and you can get him 10 touchdowns, but as far as being on the team next year as a tight end, I don't think it's going to happen. Now, maybe a slot wide receiver, that's a different conversation. But as far as a tight end position, there's a lot more that goes into it than just catching and, you know, getting touchdowns. And I think we've seen enough of Pitts to know what he is at this point.
No.
The only thing I'm actually truly concerned about is what Raheem Morris is able to do in the offseason about his clock management skills. Because that's the one thing that actually concerns me.
Well, you don't think that that was a you don't think they went in the lab and tried to figure that out?
I mean, I think that they did, and I think that, you know, at the end of the day, there's only so much that he's able to, And I feel like we've had enough of, you know, we've had enough playing time out of him over, you know, so many seasons now that I feel like it's just going to be more of the same. I mean, again, like I said, I feel like we can get him more yards and we can get him more touchdowns, but he's never been able to block. He even kind of struggled with it whenever he played for Florida. So, I mean, for him to completely unlock a whole other aspect of his game that he hasn't been able to achieve yet feels like a stretch.
Yeah, and it's
– I appreciate
it. No, I got it, man. Thank you. I appreciate it. 404-726-0929. Thanks, Michael, for checking in. I mean, you also do have Charlie Warner. I mean, he is there. That's what he's there to do. At this point, I'm not so – I get Michael's point, but I'm not so much concerned about Pitts and his blocking. Show me you could catch the damn ball, man. Show me you could break a couple off for some touchdowns. Then we'll worry about blocking. Again, you have Charlie Warner there, so it's not like you don't have a guy who can block for you. Let's go to Meat. Meat, you're up next. What do you think about Pitts?
Turtle.
What up, man?
What's up, man? Okay, first I'm going to say Kyle Pitts already had his breakout season the first year. He's trying to break back in, but I think that catch with him in MP9 against Washington, I think that opened the door for trust for him and Mike. And I think he's going to have a great season, man. I think he's going to be poetry in motion between him and Mike, man.
Well,
I don't have no concerns about it.
Meat, let me ask you this. Can it be considered a breakout season when you only have one touchdown?
Hey, man, I think that's Matt Ryan, man. Julio went a long time without – we're having small amounts of touchdowns, so I think that just comes from Matt. Matt never could get – he could never get Julio the ball in the end zone, so I don't think that's all Kyle's fault.
All right, Meat.
He had 1,000 yards, so he was catching the ball.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for calling in. 404-726-0929. I mean, one, though? I mean, I get, like, four. One? He had one touchdown. And then he had two, and then he had three. And then he had four. So like Oren said, maybe he's poised for a huge breakout five-touchdown season in 2025. Tommy's up next. Tommy, what do you think?
Hey, I'm going to tell you, I've agreed with a couple of the two previous callers. What I think is hey, you've had a breakout season. You are the man, dog. Love to hear you in the evening when I'm driving home. You've got great perspective, and thank you for being on the air.
Thank you.
As far as Kyle Pitts goes, let me just tell you this. Look, you're right. Yards don't necessarily matter. His blocking doesn't necessarily matter. Like, most time he's going to chip block anyway and roll out into the you know, 5 yards out, maybe catch something over the middle just to get that first down, tough first down. That's what I want to see him do. But more so than anything, if he could be a much larger part in the red zone and produce 10 touchdowns for the year and only have 600 yards receiving, let's go. Right?
No, I agree. Tommy, I agree 100%, and I appreciate the phone call and the kind words. 404-726-0929. If he becomes the ultimate red zone target, you're right, Tom. If he gets, you know, 600 yards, but he has 9 touchdowns, I'd take that all day over the opposite. You're 100% right. 404-726-0929. Let's squeeze in Henry before we go to break. Henry, you're up next.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. My answer to Kyle Pitts, do I think he can do it? Nah. I know Kyle Pitts far too well due to my fantasy struggles. And week after week, man, I'm just praying and hoping this guy can – you know, get me a good week, and he just let me down far too many times. And so, you know, I hope for his sake and the Falcons' sake, I hope, you know, he has 18 touchdowns, or else I think we might have to start throwing the B word around, guys.
Oh, yeah, and I appreciate the phone call. I mean, it's not might. It's Oren has been done throwing around for a couple of years now with Kyle Pitts, and it's impossible not to. Guys, he was the 4th overall pick in the NFL draft. Bum. Well, yeah. Thanks, Mike. Drive safe. he was the fourth overall pick in the NFL draft. Come on, man. And he has 10 career touchdowns? Yikes. He should have that in a season, not for his career. And I get it. He was injured. And he had crappy quarterback play. But, sorry, when you're the number four overall pick in the NFL draft, you got to overcome, brother. You just got to be better than that. Speaking of brother, rest in peace, Hulk Hogan. We'll chat with Bo Johnson in the 9 o'clock hour, one of the biggest wrestling fans I know, about the impact that the Hulkster had on the WWE and everywhere else he stopped. But, yeah, it's crazy that Orin, that – I mean, I'm not like a jinx guy or a hoax guy or anything like that, but they do say the cliche is celebrities often go in threes. And in the past couple of days, we lost Ozzy, we lost Malcolm Jamal Warner, and today we lost the Hulkster, which is just crazy. 404-726-0929. Let's head to Flowery Branch next. Maria Martin, she was there. She was the one who asked Kyle Pitts that question. We'll get her perspective on day one at Flowery Branch next. Nice throwback here. I wonder if our next guest is rocking right now, as I'm rocking right now in the studio, and so is Oren. 404-726-0929. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you till 10 o'clock. I thought this was perhaps the highlight of the day. And I believe our next guest was the facilitator of this moment where Kyle Pitts was asked, yo, are you hearing this? Everything that's going on with you, sir? And the noise? And he said this.
I don't read that rat poison. I don't get on Twitter and listen to the bots who can't come out here in 90 degree weather and come do what we do. So I don't really read into it. Obviously, I'm human, but I don't read into that. I don't pay any mind.
He doesn't pay any mind, quoting the great Nick Saban with the rat poison. And with that said, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our good friend Maria Martin. Make sure you check her out with her broadcast every single night covering all things ATL Sports 11 Live. Maria, how did you react when you heard Pitts put his foot down and say, no, I am not listening to all this crap that is coming out here about me and my performance, and I'm going to say, I'm going to be strong and make it known that I don't care. I thought it was a very well-asked question and a very honest answer from Pitts.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. Yes, I was the facilitator of it, and appreciate you having me on, Chris. It's always good to talk to you. Yeah, it was certainly one of the highlights of the first day of training camp, and this is a guy who has heard the noise ever since his rookie season. Rookie season was fantastic for Kyle. Obviously, he becomes the highest drafted tight end ever, and the expectations are sky high for him. Then in his rookie season, he makes a Pro Bowl, breaks a franchise record, and so you expect similar results each and every year from Kyle. As we all know, he's been incredibly inconsistent, and honestly, one of the more frustrating players that I've ever covered, just because I know that Kyle is capable of a lot more than he's shown in the last three seasons. This is a contract year for Kyle. You're seeing this natural maturity of a player, not just on the field, but off the field as well. And I think he exemplified that with his answer to me. Now, him saying rat poison clearly indicates he does listen to some degree, because Nick Saban obviously said that years ago. So there is, that's why I told him, I said, look, I know that you're human and it's hard to avoid these things. You absolutely hear it to some degree, but he does a really good job of shutting it down. It's probably very smart by Kyle. It's important because, again, contract year, a lot to focus on. And if Kyle really doesn't show that he is capable of something similar that he did in his rookie season in 2021, he's going to be in trouble. And so he knows the pressure that that brings.
So then no coincidence that unprompted Michael Penix Jr. starts his post-practice avail by saying, hey, we got pissed the ball a lot today, huh?
Yeah, and look, Mike's being a great quarterback. I think every good quarterback does that for his guys and advertises well for the guys that he knows are up against something very important. And good on Mike for in the offseason being very efficient when it comes to building relationships with his receivers. I even asked Mike the question, not just because you're a quarterback and that's supposed to be the status quo, you build relationships with these guys, but why was it important for you to go out this summer and work one-on-one with certain players? And he said it's because of the leadership aspect of it. Not everybody responds to things the same way. And he wants to understand how can it be verbalized to these guys. Because Mike's not a very vocal guy. You ask any of his teammates, he won't be very rah-rah. That's perhaps their favorite part about him is that he is very even keeled. But for him to be able to be a leader, it's leading by example, but also knowing how to talk to each one of his players. This offense should be really good, emphasis on the should. So I think Mike is doing his due diligence by being at the forefront of that in the offseason, heading into training camp.
What were the main takeaways, in your opinion, from Raheem's State of the Falcons address today to kick off camp?
I think Raheem does what he always does at the beginning of camp, right? Like, he was great in addressing everything, excited about the training camp that lies ahead. It's very hard to get a read on Raw for the very first day of camp, right? He's excited about guys like Brandon Dorlus and Braylon Trice, and these are things that we're all not just excited about, but we're curious about. And so I think Raw handled it well, like he normally does, and I know that he is looking forward to what should be a very effective training camp, and he's got a lot of question marks, obviously, on the defensive side of the ball.
From all accounts, I don't know if hearing about a potential opening for another NFL team spurred him on, but Kirk was out there looking spry and completing a bunch of passes, all quiet on the Western front there, but from all accounts, including what I saw from you, it seemed like he looked pretty good.
Yeah, Kirk was fine, and it's actually funny. It's not funny because of what was happening with Justin Fields, but it was perhaps the most dramatic thing to be on Twitter today, or X, or whatever it's called now, because you're reading different reports, and things are coming out in real time, and they're not totally dotting the T's and crossing the T's and dotting the I's. They're not doing all that on Twitter. So you're reading this on real time thinking, oh, gosh, this is – a season-ending injury for Justin Fields. We're all saying, oh my gosh, they may need a quarterback. Look at Kirk out here. And then obviously it came out about Justin Fields that he's just day-to-day, which, thank goodness, nobody wishes that upon anyone, especially Justin. He's a phenomenal person, and I wish him nothing but the best in New York. But yeah, I mean, Kirk is who he is. It's no surprise ever that Kirk has a good practice or is handling his business. That's not a secret for anyone at this point. It's how he's always been. It's just for the first time in a decade, he's taking scout team reps. You know, it's just a little bit different. And honestly, there's four quarterbacks at training camp for the Falcons. And the majority of the reps today, again, it's very, very early. It's day one. But the majority of the reps were rotated between Mike and Kirk. You did see Easton Stick get in there a little bit, and Emory Jones, of course. But on that first field, it was really just those two guys. And Kirk, of course, it's never a surprise that he looks good. It's just Mike obviously looks a little bit better.
Two guys that are expected to play pretty large roles as rookies this year in the back end of the defense is Xavier Watts and Billy Bowman. What did you see from those guys?
Yeah, I wish we got to see a little bit more from the rookies, especially when the defense was working on their own. They were kind of off on an island. But what I do like about how they're rotating the defense in and out so quickly is that that's how those connections are going to be made. There was a point made by someone today about philosophy when it comes to Jeff Ulbrich and what do you like about it? I was asking Caden Ellis about it 2 days ago, or I guess Wednesday. It's already training camp. I'm already losing track of my days. So on Wednesday, when we talked to Caden Ellis, he was talking about Jeff Ulbrich's philosophy and how it's individual player first. I think that's going to benefit a lot of the rookies, especially the two that you named, because Billy Bowman and Xavier Watts have a lot to prove, and there are very high expectations for both of those players. Just because they weren't the first-round draft picks, which I'm sure we will talk about ad nauseum throughout all of camp, the two edge rushers taken in the first round, doesn't mean that there's not expectations and pressure on those two as well. They're trying to make a roster. They're trying to prove that they can be in there and be in the rotation, and they have all the tools and all the intangibles to do that, and the veterans think nothing but the best of those two. So I'm honestly really excited to see what they can do in camp.
We are talking with Maria Martin, our good buddy from 11 Alive, lead sports anchor and reporter here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Chris Thomas tonight with you until 10 o'clock. A lot of eyes also, Maria, on Caleb McGarry. I believe he spoke as well. What did you glean from his comments as well as his early look as being essentially the new left tackle?
Yeah, for those of you that are familiar with the way that Caleb interviews, he's typically very short, not in a negative way, not in a positive way. He's just not a man of a whole lot of words. And I thought he was really fantastic. He actually had a lot more to say than he normally does. I don't know if it's fresh day of training camp. We're here for the first day. I don't know what it was, but it was really refreshing and really nice to see Caleb come out of his shell a little bit. And one of the things that he said is he feels the best he ever had because he had some bone spurs shaved off. He was dealing with some injuries that he said he'd been dealing with for the last couple of years. So to see this kind of re-energized Caleb McGarry is going to pay dividends because, as we know, he's the blindside tackle. he said in a modern offense, there's not really a blindside tackle anymore. Take that however you want. Yes, a quarterback shifts around, especially somebody like Michael Penix Jr., but for the most part, Caleb is going to be his blindside tackle. So I thought he looked good, and I think it is incredibly important for Caleb to be one of those guys that is sound all the way through camp. I even asked Caleb about Michael's demeanor. He said that helps him a ton because he needs somebody that it's a high-pressure situation. The huddle is always a little crazy, but Mike keeps it very calm. He's obviously the only one talking in the huddle. The guys are listening, but he said he's always the same no matter what the situation. They got a very quick glimpse of that in the three games of the back half of the season. Caleb's going to need that a lot because there will be a lot of pressure specifically on Caleb McGarry this year.
On the other side of the ball, it appears to me, Maria, and correct me if I'm wrong, that it looks like they're going to go with a sort of a NASCAR-style defensive line rotation, a lot of big, fresh bodies in there to rotate. They have a lot of guys on the roster that play a similar position. But who did you see out there that stood out? Was Rook Roro, Brandon Dorlis, were those type of guys getting in the action today?
Yeah, I think one thing I try not to do is read too much into those rotations early on, although they were incredibly exciting to watch because you're right. You did see this NASCAR style, really fresh sets of legs pretty much every other play. And I thought that was really nice. And it's just to get the guys going and acclimated to the new scheme and install and all that good stuff. So who knows how that's actually going to shake out. But I thought Rook Roro looked really nice on the first day. And Brandon Dorlis obviously is someone that coaches have talked about all offseason, especially in the spring, as someone that they have high expectations for. But I've talked about it on the Locked On podcast a ton. Rook is my guy that's going to stand out this year. Like, he's the one person I want people to pay attention to because I actually think he's going to have a monster year. Rook was so smart last year to really go after Grady Jarrett and say, hey, take me under your wing. Teach me everything that you know. I want to learn from you. And that's really what Rook did last year. How smart of him, because gone goes Grady Jarrett. Now we're looking around. Of course, David Onyemata is a veteran, but who's going to be the leader among the defensive linemen? That's going to shake out throughout camp for sure. But Rook has so many tools to be a guy to make a difference. I really think he's someone to pay attention to. But you're right. Those fresh legs, they were fun. It really looked to me like it was a younger, if you had a younger defensive line and you had veterans on the back end, and then they would switch and they would have veterans up front and young guys on the back end. So it's good getting both of those aspects of the defense experience in a new way.
Couple of injury notes. Troy Anderson, unfortunately, to begin on the PUP list. And then what happened with Darnell Mooney?
We don't know what happened with Darnell Mooney. So Darnell Mooney, the catch that he made was right in front of me. It was a catch, and then he dropped it right at the end. So it was a beautiful ball by Michael Penix, by the way, and Darnell probably should have come up with it, but he fell pretty hard at the end of that, and he was walking around the sideline, didn't really get back in, and then he was off and walking with his helmet off way before practice ended. So I'm sure we'll get an update as soon as Ross talks to us next. So hopefully Darnell's okay. That's someone, again, who is such a key piece to what the Falcons are doing on offense. And Troy is very disappointing because Troy also is one of those players who had dealt with injuries in the past. It's disappointing for Troy to start on the PUP list. I know he's probably, we haven't talked to him, but I know he's probably super upset about that. You know, that's not writing on the wall, but this also is a really prove it year for Troy. The linebacker room is not a mess, but there is a lot to figure out. But with the addition of Divine Diablo, that obviously now puts increased pressure on Troy as well.
You mentioned Caden Ellis earlier before I let you go. Do you think he's going to be more involved as a straight pass rusher this year?
Great question. I know if you were going to ask Caden that, he would say, please, I love it, because he welcomes the challenge. He was even talking the other day about how whenever he was going to be the edge rusher and the pass rusher on a given play, there would be an arrow by him on the call sheet. So he wants that arrow. He wants to be the guy to go and get after the quarterback. Caden's good at so many different things. He's incredibly versatile. And this defensive staff knows that that's how they have to use Caden. So I do think they drafted a bunch of guys around him to try to alleviate asking Caden to do everything, because that's really what's been on Caden's shoulders. He was the quiet guy who kind of did way too many things on this defense. So if we can back off Caden a little bit, I think everyone would probably be happy.
Maria, appreciate the time so much. We'll check in again as camp progresses, and we'll be checking you out on 11 Alive.
You bet. Thank you. Appreciate it. Have a great show.
All right. That is Maria Martin there, our good friend from 11 Alive, lead sports anchor and reporter there. Boots on the ground report from Flowery Branch. We'll get another one tomorrow from Joe Patrick, who was also in attendance. When we get back, What does it mean to lose a legend? We'll dive into that a little bit. And Oren has five NFL camp true-false questions for us. I wonder what teams he's going to ask me about. Is there a Falcons question that's going to get slipped in there? What does Big O have up his big sleeve? We'll find out when we get back. 1 hour in the books, 3 to play on a busy, busy Thursday. Falcons camp is underway. It's Chris Thomas tonight.